So I should say, good morning, but actually I'm going to say, it's a great morning. So whatever your politics are, it's a great morning because democracy worked yesterday. I went with my family to vote in Riverside Church, mindful of this amazing edifice built by John Rockefeller. And notice that the woman in line next to me voting is a homeless person I see on the street on Broadway pretty much every day. You know, America and a democracy is an amazing thing, even when it has its challenges. And I think the election has reminded us of what Leslie and others on the video reminded us, which is the key questions. Who are we? Where are we coming from? What do we believe in? Where are we going? And those are the questions not only of a democracy, of this democracy at this moment especially, but they are the questions that the humanities guides us in thinking through. And that the humanities, the study of them, the appreciation for them, provide the bedrock to a society's efforts to grapple with those essential questions. I welcome you to the New York Public Library, which is an institution second to none, in my view, committed to exactly that. Why do I say second to none? Because this is uniquely so, the institution that combines a great research library, by our count, the most publicly used research library in the world, and certainly the most democratically accessible of them, with the largest circulating library in America. And as such, while I was also going to use Mr. Jefferson's quote over the mantle, which is too good to avoid, but having Leslie grabbed it first, I will draw your attention to the top above the quote. The city of New York has erected this building, this library, for the free use of all the people. So while we're talking today about high-end scholarship and research, let us remind ourselves that we do so in a building and an institution that is committed to the ideal that what must be available to the finest scholars must be available to the people as a whole, or we will fail in our mission to educate a citizenry that can use its democracy, or a citizenry that will have the skills and the knowledge to be an effective workforce. The events of this last week here in New York and in so much of the Northeast, Hurricane Sandy, described by some as a once-in-a-lifetime event, which I am sure is not going to be the case, presents us with even harder choices. So I'm not known for holding back, and you'll see that, and then Leslie can edit my my views out of the video accordingly. I believe two things. So I'll just put them on the table, even though they're not particularly politic. One is, we can stamp our feet and bang the table and say we need more attention. But there are really hard choices, and the choices just got really harder. When the city of New York says, how much can we fund our beloved library? They're weighing that against police and firemen and schools, and now they're going to weigh it against whether we need dikes across the harbor to protect the city. So we're going to need to think real hard about not just banging our feet, because there really are hard choices here, and that's what this moment is about. And secondly, even more in politic, we do ourselves and have done ourselves no favor, in my view, as humanists, because we have, as a community, allowed ourselves to be structured, to be incented, whatever the right word is,
to become ever more self-referential. We are in a community, we are not alone in the academic community that has done this, but we are certainly leaders in talking to ourselves. And surprise, surprise, the rest of the world doesn't care. So let's not just say the world doesn't appreciate us. I think we best face up to the ways in which we're not making it easy for the rest of the world to appreciate us. Leslie asked me to tell a couple stories. I'll do them very quickly, and I had a whole set of them, different than the ones I'm going to tell you, because of this last week. So thinking about this institution, which many of us in the room are involved in, and what it means in terms of the humanities, let me give you three examples. You will have followed the controversy over this building and its renovation over the last year. Let us note what happened. The library is looking for a way to improve the circulating facility and to safely preserve the core of the research collection. But its plan, in retrospect, was misguided, I confess that, in sending too much of the core collection too far away, too undependably so. We have, to borrow an unfortunate phrase, put a stake in the ground, literally a bunker, just back there, so that we could keep the core of the collection right here. And we did so because it was the right thing to do, but we also did so because we heard a groundswell, and that's an understatement, of concern by the faculty communities, the freelancers, the first-time novelists, the aspiring nonfiction writers, who understood what was at stake at this institution. And if, not only, I believe, the good news is we've revised our decisions, I think that's part of democracy too, revised our plan, but we also heard a powerful statement from a broad community about the power and value of the humanities and what happens here. Secondly, the storm came last week. So many suffered so terribly. The library had 61 of its branches back up and running by Thursday, before the subways were fully running and way before the schools could get back mostly to running. Well, I come downtown on Wednesday. I wandered around this building. That was actually one of my stupider moments, because the guard said, "Wouldn't you like a flashlight?" And I said, "Oh, no, I don't need a flashlight." And I literally wandered around this room and my office next door like a blind man, which is a very eerie feeling. But then I went next door on Thursday to the Mid-Manhattan, which is the largest circulating used library facility in the country. And we'd opened it because there they had electricity, even though we didn't here across the street. And I'd never seen anything like it in my life. Every chair, every square inch of floor, every plug, every computer was chock-a-block. There wasn't a space to move. It looked like Newark Airport on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. The difference is everyone had chosen to be there. Why did they come? Many came because they didn't have electricity at home. But many came because they wanted to read, to write, to borrow a book, and work. And they wanted to do it together. At a moment, and this is true on a regular day in our system, when you could just stay home and do your work, there is something powerful, and it is deeply a humanities value, that says people will fight their way through a storm to be able to do the work of the humanities, and to be able to inspire each other by doing it together. Lastly, Just yesterday, I was meeting with head of one of the major publishing houses. I probably shouldn't say which. There used to be a big six set of publisher houses, as he reminded me. He's now in the big five because there was a merger. He didn't have to do anything. I should have said, going back to the week of the storm. Well, another inspiring part was seeing the staff, including the development staff, the finance staff, the research staff, coming in to help make the branch libraries work. Gene Strauss emailed me from one of the branches on the west side, talking about how she was shelving books, which is an image I will enjoy for a very long time. So, just very quickly, we are concerned here at the library, and I think this is also a fundamental humanities concern. We were founded by the largest gift in the history of philanthropy from Andrew Carnegie, still the largest gift in the history of philanthropy, with a single commitment that in addition to the great research library, we had to ensure that every person in New York, including those who couldn't afford it, would have access to free books. Because if you're worried about economic divide in this country, imagine a country in which the bottom third, that is the portion of New Yorkers who depend on this library to be able to read, can't read. And we face a moment, a Gutenberg transition moment, a moment of virtual transformation, in which we face a real possibility that a technology that should make it easier for more people to engage in the humanities and have more access to the corpus of the world's information will actually have less. And this institution, all of us as a community, have to make sure that all of us as scholars and researchers and the public at large do not lose the access to the seed corn, to the bedrock of what this society needs. That's what we're up to. That's what we're all up to. It's what the commission is trying to say to this society. Because we as a society tend to take the humanities for granted, just as this city takes its library for granted. Let's remind them of what's at stake. Thank you for being here at the library today.